Very good. Good morning again. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil.
But this is not in the fine print of following him. It's the ninth beatitude.
And he tells us there is a blessing of following him that'll be about insult, persecution, and opposition. And he gives two reasons.
That you live will be in because contrast of righteousness
to those around you. We've already heard in the Beatitudes, if you remember them, different ways of living, which will be quite different from the society that people are surrounded by. Your way of living will be in conflict sometimes, and definitely in contrast with a society that doesn't share kingdom values. The second thing that he says is you'll be persecuted because of me, because you're a follower of me, that your commitment to me will have a greater claim than any other power or authority around you. And that'll draw opposition. So these things that a follower of Jesus is committed to, a righteous way of living and a commitment to Jesus, means that believers are different and are meant to be seen to be different in the world they're living in. So you will be, Jesus goes on to say, like salt. You'll have an effect on society that is distinctly salty. You'll be like light that shines in contrast to darkness. You'll be like a city that cannot be hidden. It's set on a hill. People will see it. It's built to stand out, and people will be drawn to it. These are the things that you'll be like. And the outcome of living like this is that people will notice you, and hopefully the world is better because of you. And strangely, sometimes people will hate you. Doesn't that seem strange that Christians who try to live well and do good might draw to themselves opposition? But if you think through history and you think through the way that Christians have lived, you'll notice that wherever power is threatened, wherever people's identity is challenged, wherever ways of life is called into question, people bring opposition. And so the disciples of Jesus discovered this reality very early. In Acts chapter 5, as April read for us, already as they're going out and telling the good news that Jesus is Lord to the whole world, already by Acts chapter 5, they've come into conflict. They've not even left Jerusalem yet, and already they are in trouble. What's going on is the church is growing. People are being healed. There are miracles that are happening. People are following Jesus. And the religious authorities in this time are threatened by it. They feel like that the very, fabric of their faith and certainly their power is under threat because of these followers of Jesus. So they jail the apostle. They put him in jail. And during the night, an angel comes and says, well, actually, we're going to get you out of this jail. And the first thing you need to do is go do the very thing that you were jailed for, which is preaching the good news of Jesus. So they get out of the jail. They go into the temple. And the religious rulers wake up to hear that the apostles have just jailed are already back in the temple by some mysterious hand preaching about Jesus. So they pull them back to the court, and they are angry. In fact, they're angry enough to want their death, the apostles' death. And so they say to them, stop preaching about Jesus, or we will beat you, or worse. And Peter says this very famous, memorable line, we must obey God rather than people. They're going to be persecuted because they are followers of Jesus, and there is no greater claim on their life
than his lordship.
You must obey God rather than people. And the court are in uproar. They want their death. And only because of an intervention by a wise teacher called Gamaliel are they saved. Instead, they're flogged, they're commanded to never speak of Jesus, and they're set free. Or say, pay no attention to that middle comment and continue to speak of Jesus. All but one of those 12 apostles, including Paul, who was added later, died for preaching about Jesus. And what we see in the apostles, Acts of the Apostles, we see throughout history and we see even into our time. Followers of Jesus find themselves in opposition to often society. More people have died, they say, in the 20th century for being a follower of Jesus than all the other centuries, the 1900 other centuries, the 190 other centuries that are counted before. And Open Doors, which you heard briefly from in the little video entry, they serve the persecuted church. It's worth checking out their website to find out more information. But they exist, they say, to help people follow Jesus all over the world, no matter the cost. And what you'll find on their website is what they call the top 50 most dangerous countries to follow Jesus. And you can scroll through places, mostly in Africa and Central Asia, where people are suffering for their faith. For those of us that are going through the Jesus the Game Changer series, season 2, this week's episode will highlight two countries, Nigeria and Iran. In fact, what's very interesting for us as a church is we also have Iranians in our church who've experienced persecution because of faith in Jesus. And they have a guy called Hassan John. He's from Nigeria and he's leading a church in northern Nigeria. And because of Boko Haram, his church is constantly being burnt to the ground. They've had suicide bombers approach the church gathering. Had people beaten. It's just horrific what is normal for them. And it's because they are followers of Jesus. Well, then these two sisters, Miriam and Mirzah, I think I've said that wrong, but these two sisters talk about how they became believers and felt like that they'd never seen a Bible before and they'd love to share a Bible with people that they live with. So they arranged for Bibles to be brought into the country. They put Bibles in their backpacks and went off to villages and put those Bibles into letterboxes and various houses. So they end up giving out 20,000 New Testaments to all these various homes. And in the process of that, they got caught, they were jailed, and then they tell this story of all that they go through because they gave out Bibles and they wanted people to know about Jesus. It's just unbelievable what people in these kind of countries endure. And this week, please do watch that episode because you'll get to see and hear just a small portion of what fellow believers go through. As I watched that episode, I felt like these women, just young women, I'd be thinking around 28, maybe 30. These women have strength and have dignity and have courage in their following of Jesus. The pastor, Hassan John, a man of great dignity and strength, seriously challenged. These people kind of have a stature that comes through even on the video episode. And I wondered about us. What about our stature? If you go through the top 50 countries, the 50 most dangerous countries to be a Christian in, Australia gladly is not on that list. Not in the top 50. For us, we suffer many things for unknown reasons. We don't necessarily know why we get the hard things that come our way. But when you suffer because you are a follower of Jesus, at least you know why. You know why this pain has come your way. If I said to you, my legs are jelly, I want to throw up, my muscles are burning, my mind is struggling, I'm dehydrated, I can't swallow. If you listen to that, you might say, Jason, you sound really sick. But if I then told you I was running a marathon, you'd say, oh, actually, that pain makes sense. And for anyone who runs a marathon and feels all those things, because the pain makes sense, they push through it. The pain is not the most important thing to them. Their finish line is, and their place in the race. They know why they're in pain. And very often, when we're suffering, one of our greatest struggles is we don't know why. But for a persecuted Christian, they know why. They know exactly why they are suffering. They know why they're in pain. It makes sense to them. Their pain has come to them because they are following Jesus. And that's what I see on the screen as those people share their stories. Is they know why they're suffering. Doesn't mean that suffering is not brutal, but they know the cause and why. And their Lord Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you are suffering because you are facing opposition as a follower of Jesus, then you can have a sense of joy, a sense of rejoicing and being glad. You are just like the prophets, Jesus said, who were faithful in proclaiming God's word and got a terrible reception. You can be glad because you have a reward in heaven. God himself sees what you are going through and he will be faithful to you. You can be glad because you are salt, because you are light, because the world is better off through your efforts. And you can be glad that people will glorify God through your efforts. This is how persecuted people can make sense of their suffering. I'm going to read how 1 Peter chapter 1 speaks to suffering people. He says exactly the same. He says, you have a living hope. You're being brought into a great inheritance. He reminds them of their reward. And he says that God is forming in you a faith that is greater and more precious than gold. He's reminding them of what God is doing in them. This is how Christians who go through great suffering under opposition survive and thrive. You know, Christians throughout the world know this reality, especially those who live in the top 50 most persecuted countries. Open Doors say they exist to support the persecuted church. Their vision is, we believe that caring for the persecuted church should be part of the DNA of every Christian. You know, as I've prepared this week and thought through this, I've realized the persecuted church is not on my mind. It's actually not in my DNA. I'm already prompted to consider how can I do more? In fact, how can we as a church do more? To pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, to financially support. I do actually want to encourage you, go to the Open Doors website and have a look at what they're doing. Maybe that's one way we could support the persecuted church. I wonder in Australia, whether we suffer as Christians. You know, based on the Open Doors data, we're not on the list. I mean, most Western nations are not on a list that says that there's widespread systematic persecution. And that's a good thing. And I want to suggest to you that is probably because of the Christian shadow in our nation. Open Doors says that the common thread is persecution exists where the gospel is being shared. For that very reason, Open Doors doesn't exist to stop persecution, but to help the local church continue to follow Jesus no matter the cost. You understand that? That where people tell others about Jesus, that's where persecution happens. So doesn't it make you wonder, what is it about us that we don't suffer because of our faith? Many times, if we think just over this year, think about all the points of challenge and suffering in your life. How many times was that because you shared your faith with others? Or because you lived according to kingdom values as a follower of Jesus and there was pushback? If I'm honest, most of my suffering has been because of my stupidity or because of external challenges, health, pandemic, other crises. Most of those have been around that. Not necessarily because I've shared my faith or I've lived in with kingdom values in contrast to the society around me. And so these believers that are in persecuted countries know why they suffer. Know that it's because they are followers of Jesus, and that's why it draws them opposition. So it may be hard for us, because we don't suffer in the same way, to understand where their joy and their reward come from, to have their same level of dignity and stature, because they know they've been tested in faith and proven faithful. You know, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12 that everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. Jesus himself taught, as we've heard, that if you are going to follow me, then you'll know the blessing of opposition. And one of the reasons, I guess, why we don't suffer so much in our society is we do have this Christian shadow. So much of our society has alignment with kingdom values because Christians have brought that into play. But I think we are discovering in a new way that society is not so in step with what Jesus is on about. I mean, the mayor shared a little bit about how there's pressure to not make our society a place where faith can exist alongside each other, but actually to make our society a place where faith has no place at all. This is true of our schools, true of our government, that the people who are normally atheists think that the best option is to have no option around faith. Instead of giving people a wide variety of voice, they say actually faith should have no voice. That's got some sweeping impact. That's got some sweeping impact if it's not restrained. And that's true not just for Christians, by the way. If we live in a society where Christian faith is marginalized and given no voice, Christian young people go to school and feel like they're stupid because of their faith. Well, if that's true for the Christian, then I want to say it's true for anybody of any faith. It's not good for the majority of people who have faith in Australia.
for this atheistic kind of trajectory to not be restrained. And the mayor's right. The mayor's fighting for a value that I think is exactly what Christians would want to fight for, which is that faith should be freely chosen. It shouldn't be a compulsion, but it should also have a voice and a place. Society is giving us more and more reason to live differently. I mean, this since the sexual revolution, especially to now, sexuality is a place that if you are a person who reads the scriptures and says, I want to live according to those scriptures, you'll find yourself living differently. Our sense of where our identity is found and what it means to be human is becoming increasingly different. Our sense of what is tolerance and who has a voice and who doesn't have a voice and how do we speak together in a reasonable way? Well, I've noticed society has changed there. And all these concerns that I only briefly named, the concerns not just for the sake of Christians, actually for the sake of a society as a whole. One of the things that I have been struck by is the notions that Christians hold regarding sexuality are not dissimilar from other peoples. If you're Maori or Aboriginal, if you're a Chinese or Muslim, you have very similar views. And while we Christians might get some heat on having diverse and different views to the society at large, it's important that we have express it and say it because there are a bunch of people who have no voice who think the same. So to be salt and light the same. So to be salt and light is not just to do nice, good things so that people think well of you. Sometimes it's to push against what is not right, what is not in line with the kingdom. And it does bring opposition and it does bring persecution. I know for a fact that our young people who are in public schools, these are high school young people, experience this all the time. That they're in, say, a sex ed class, and the sex ed class teaches a certain way of viewing your bodies and of identity and of the choices you make. That if a young person were to speak up at that point, and if the school decides they're going to celebrate certain kinds of choices, then the young person finds themselves in conflict about what do I do? I value the people, but I don't agree with the choice. These are 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, who already know that the society they live in is against them when it comes to being a Christian. So we may feel like our society is more or less in line because of that Christian shadow. But I think the mayor hinted that don't take that for granted. Don't take your voice into our society for granted. And if it brings you heat, then so be it. You know, our church, I think it'd be fair to say our church is a church that is prudent, careful. We have personal faith and we're private. We find it hard to share that faith with others. So how would we go? Just consider this with me. How would we go if our lives were at stake, or our jobs, or our marriage, or our health, or our respect and place in our community? How would we go if, because we were followers of Jesus, all of those things were threatened? Would you still be prudent, personal, but private? You know, it's actually an easy fallback, isn't it? It's easy in good conditions and in hard times to be prudent, personal, and private.
But I want you to understand this. No one in the top 50 nations kind of gets that choice if they really want to follow Jesus. Just meeting together, just reading my Bible to my children in my family is enough to put my life at risk, to put my reputation at stake. They don't get a choice. And so we believers, we're meant to be different. And we're meant to be seen to be different. Our faith is personal and it's public. So what holds us back from taking more risk, from going public with our personal faith? What is in you and me? What are our fears that say to us, be quiet? Say nothing. Don't speak up. What is it? We're going to hear, as the sermon closes, about a song from Laura Story called The Blessing. And it's a song that covers all challenge. But I want you to pay attention to the words. Because we often consider the challenge, and the song tells us that in the challenge is blessing. In persecution, in opposition, there is blessing. And one of the lines that sticks out for me is the song reminds us this is not our home. We don't live as if this is all there is. Do we? There's a quote from the episode this week where the guy from Open Door says, I remember he was speaking to a Chinese believer. He was a 70 or 80-year-old Chinese believer from the underground church. And as our time drew to an end, I said to him, Brother, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah, I want you to pray persecution never leaves China. I remember I paused and I said, can you explain that? He said, well, we look at the Australian church as a prophetic example of what happens when faith becomes free. He said, the value of Jesus drops. So I want you to pray persecution never leaves China. This believer, in terrible, trying conditions, can see the blessing in opposition. He can see that there's more to this life, that he has a great reward. He can see the value of Jesus above all things. I wonder, can we? Firstly, we need to pray, our God, for those who are suffering because of their faith across our world. We can scarcely understand what it might mean for them. I think especially of pastoral leaders. When people want to persecute a church, they normally go after the pastor and the pastor's family. And I just pray for those leaders and their families. I pray for their children, their spouses. And I pray that you might give them courage and grace. And I want to even pray, God, that you might bring protection to them. But help them. Help all these folk who are suffering because they live righteously and because they bear witness to you. Lord, for us here in Australia, we don't suffer the same way. And when we fear about the rights and the opposition that we have in our society, we still at the end of the day come back to churches like ours, meet with believers that are on the team together. We're safe in our homes. Our jobs are not at risk. For all this, we're really grateful.
But we recognize that there's this effect on us, that our faith, in a sense, becomes weak because it's not tested. I would pray, O God, that you would give us opportunity to share our faith with others. That it won't be just private, it will be public. And we want our God to do this with gentleness and respect, in ways that draw people to you. But we also know that at times it will also draw offense. May our love for you be greater than our fear of others. May we still hold to those amazing words that Peter said. We must obey God rather than people. So give us wisdom, give us courage, and help us faithfully follow you. Bear witness to you. Be salt and light in our world, we pray. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.